Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to episode 1437, Patriots, Redoubters, Partisans, God-fearing, God-honoring, American-loving people out there, my friends, my family. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and this is Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you had a blessed week this last week. I had a blessed day today. I got to go to the Spokane Preparedness Expo, or Sustainable Preparedness Expo, and I got to see a lot of friends and meet several new AMRON operators, listeners, and some of our sponsors, and it was just great. It was a great day, and I didn't want to leave, but I had to cut out of there early. So the rest of you all that I didn't get to see, I can spend some time with you all as well. And or for Delta 04, spend some time with y'all as well. So welcome to all of you guys that are tuning in across the American Redoubt and in occupied territory. We want to let you know you're not alone. There are people all around you who are seeing the same things that you're seeing. They're just as frustrated watching what's happening to our beloved country. And many of you are taking the gap. You are moving to the American Redoubt. You're strategically relocating. And by the way, I got to see Joel Skousen today as well. He spoke also at the expo. Lots of people there talking about strategic relocation. A lot of people there had already strategically relocated, or they are doing a recon, scouting out areas within the American Redoubt. And they were looking at the Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho area and stopped in for the expo. So it was just so great to be able to see so many people there that are taking self-reliance seriously. There's people waking up all the time, American citizens, Christian patriots that see what's happening. And I know a lot of you out there in the listening audience, you're new, you're just waking up, your eyes are rolling back in your head, and you're saying, oh my gosh, this is really not temporary. What's happening? The loss of our liberty, the loss of our heritage, the attack on our heritage and everything that we value, we are in trouble and I don't know what to do about it. And you are in the right place. So we are going to talk about some of the news and commentary to bring awareness to what's going on. But of course, we always try to offer solutions as well. And one of the solutions, one of the most viable solutions that myself and those of you in the listening audience believe is the strategically relocating out of occupied territories, moving to the free zones, one of the largest regions is the American Redoubt, the inland Pacific Northwest states of Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and eastern portions of both Oregon and Washington. And of course, that is conceptual. That is not anything that you could draw hard lines on a map. We know this generally, this region is extremely conservative. And in the fight ahead to preserve Americanism, we believe that at this point, the only way that that can be done is regionally. And the region of the American Redoubt is a hotbed for conservatives. And many people here are fighting tooth and nail to keep liberty, because the globalists, the statists, the left-wing socialists cannot stand the fact that liberty thrives here. And so the fight is on evermore here, but it is not lost ground. It is disputed ground, and we are fighting and pushing back. Speaking of that, there is a new, I got alerted to a new, we'll get to the news and commentary here in just a minute. There's a new restaurant that just opened up over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. It's called Wild Buffalo Wings. And apparently, this is part of a franchise. They have one in Spokane. They have one in Boise. They have, I don't know where all they have them. But, I mean, it didn't take long for their doors to open before somebody snapped a picture of a gigantuous sign on the front of their door on the glass that says that guns are banned on these premises. And oh my goodness, did the lid come off. That was sent to me by Facebook. It was a Facebook posting. And it was Polly01 or one of the other partisans of Radio Free Readout that do our commonly posting stuff on there. Or somebody using a different nomaker. You got too many code names running around here. I can't keep them all straight. So one of them posted this on there, and people just went ballistic. It went viral, and people physically went to the store to talk to the manager and tell them, I will never walk into that place. I will never send anybody here. I'll never spend a dime here, and we're going to watch your business go out of business with that type of mentality. You don't know where you are. First of all, you're in the American Redoubt. Secondly, you're in Idaho. And you got a sign like that? So people called, people went there, people posted on their Facebook posting, including me. It just letters, emails, everything else. So the poor manager, he's probably feeling just bludgeoned because this is a corporate policy. But hey, he chose who to work for. There's plenty of other places to work for. If you go to a place there, you're the manager. You're the one that made sure that sign got put there. Because you're a yes man for the corporate policy enforcement. And so, yeah, expect to take it. I don't feel bad for you. I don't feel bad for anybody who's going to. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine putting praying over your food before eating in this premises is banned? Christians are banned in this facility. Or any other God-given constitutional right. Can you imagine putting up there, this is banned? The right, we have the right, and there's actually people that think, oh, they have the right to, it's a private business. No one has the right to take away a God-given right. So nobody can tell you you can't pray or that you can't be a Christian if you're going to be in that business. You don't have the right to defend yourself. No business, corporation, office, entity, government, or an individual can tell you you do not have the right that God himself gave to you. That just blows my mind. So anyway, it's going to be cool to watch that business just kind of dwindle and fade away and become a has-been. Not welcome here. Absolutely not. That mentality is not welcome here. So now, I know that there's some businesses out there like Costco. They have their, you know, no firearms policy. I've never seen it. I've never seen a sign. I go to Costco and I go armed. Doesn't faze me a bit. I've never seen a sign on there. Now, I have heard of some managers asking people to take the gun out of the store. I've not seen that myself. But I've also heard of... It probably depends on the manager, but I've heard them say, you know, can you pull your shirt over it? Can you cover it up? You know, and then they let them shop there. So whether or not that's, you know, how the lawyers probably told them, oh, you got to have this policy in place. Liability. You face serious liability if you don't put this policy in your little membership thing. They don't really seem like they're very enthusiastic about enforcing it. I don't know. Maybe some of you have had your own experiences, but man, that is a big, fat, bold sign that chicken wing place put there. Brand new business. Hi, we're in town. We're from wherever they are, California, somewhere. They're definitely not from the American Redoubt. Although there are some people in the American Redoubt that the indoctrination from the occupied territories have leaked into their brain. And have corrupted the thinking of some people in the American Redoubt, but they're outnumbered, and so that's a good feeling. Okay, let's see here. Hope you guys enjoyed the Chris Ann Hall. I re-aired because I got in late from the Preparedness Expo. I didn't get a chance to because Chris Ann sends me her shows, her latest shows. And so I have them in my inbox, but I didn't pull them down and get them loaded up into the audio player. So you guys got to listen to the same one twice. Sorry about that. But not really that sorry about it, because I was actually listening to it while I was doing the prep work for the show, and excellent teaching that's worth listening to more than once, for sure. Oh, let's see here. Let's get into the news and commentary here at Radio Free Readout. And news and commentary is sponsored by Glenn Tate and 299 Days, the book series. And I got to meet one of the team members again. And the publicist for Glenn Tate, Autumn Torres, she's awesome. And I'm not even going to try to, because they use code names, of course, in this world. We all of us partisans, we're starting to use, you know, more and more people go by code names for PERSEC reasons. So I don't want to get it mixed up, because he's on the team, but he's in the books and he has a code name. And then, of course, I know his real name. And so, I don't even want to have a slip. Always great to see those guys. Great to see people from the committees, from Prosser, Washington, from just patriots from all over the country. Met some Amron Corps operators. What, four of them? Delta 01, our web guy, and the guy behind all the code. For the website development and maintaining and security and all that stuff. He was there, ran into him. It was like a Amron Radio Free Readout reunion. And it was pretty neat. Oh, but anyway, okay. So back to the news and commentary, which is sponsored by Glenn Tate, which is what led to that whole rabbit trail there. In the news, first of all, you guys know that we're AMCON 4, right? That's the American Redoubt Condition Level 4 for the threat condition. We had a lot of intel that was mostly all open source intel, indicating a very strong possibility of potential domestic terror attacks by ISIS or Al-Qaeda on American soil domestically here. And so we went to AMCON 4. We're going to drop that back down to AMCON 5 in the next probably 24 to 48 hours. We're kind of assessing things, but there's still some intel that's coming in that there's obviously something coming. When, we don't know. But we can go to AMCON 1 in an instant if we have to. And of course, that means all of our AMRON operators are up and running and operational and implementing the signals operating instruction and all that good stuff. So there's the first news and commentary. In the news and commentary, we will be going to AMCON 5, dropping that back down to AMCON 5. And we do have some recent intel I'll be talking to you about here in just a little bit. Let's see, the Satanic Temple, they're going to be distributing religious literature in school, Washington, D.C. This is where the story came out of. This is in Florida, actually. In cooperation with the other satanic group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and in accordance with school board policy that allows religious material dissemination, the Satanic Temple announces they will distribute satanic literature in Florida public school district. They want it to be fair. And of course, they don't think that any type of religious stuff should be distributed through the schools. But this is a tongue-in-cheek move admitted by them. Since the Florida school district in question was allowing Christian literature, Bibles, to be distributed to kids. And so they said, well, under the freedom of religion, we want to be able to put stuff out too. And this guy says, the master sacrifice dude. Even as we prefer public schools policies respecting secularism, we feel that opportunities such as this to establish an equal voice for contrasting religious opinions in the public square tend to favor marginalized, lesser-known, and alternative religions. Oh, that's his name, Greaves, or Graves. Probably Graves. I'm quite certain that all of the children in these Florida schools are already aware of the Christian religion and its Bible, and this might be the first exposure these children have had to actually the actual practice of Satanism. We think many students will be very curious to see what we offer. Yeah, I'm sure they will be really curious. And actually, they don't really even need the schools to introduce the kids to things that they're curious about, because some parents are getting their 10-year-old kids smartphones with full access to the internet. So they're already getting indoctrinated by the world, and you're complaining about the schools while you send your kid off to public schools where they're sitting there watching porn in the hallway, gathered around with all their friends on their friend's smartphone. Get your kids out of the public schools. It's more than just the school system. It's their peers. They're there to learn. They are not ready for battle yet. It's like sending a 12-year-old kid to Afghanistan and handing him an M16 and showing him which way the bullet goes out of the weapon and then sending him into combat. It's like taking that kid to basic training, and after he learns to do right face, left face, forward march, okay, send him to Afghanistan. They're not ready yet for battle. I know some people are like, oh, I send my kid to the public school because they're supposed to be a light to the world, and the other kids can see Jesus in them, and whew, you are, man, I'm getting off on another rant. It's supposed to be news and commentary, but man, this just opens something up. Your kids, you're sending them into battle, and they're not ready. They are still in basic training, and you have to protect them. That's why in basic training they use rubber M16s. That's why there are drill sergeants there to look over their every move to make sure that on the grenade course they don't drop it at their feet. There's somebody ready to grab them and hurl them into the pit for their own protection. When you send them off into battle, those kids every day, you are not there to protect them. And you're sending them into battle for 6 hours a day. And how much time do you spend with them at night to undo all the stuff that you sent them into? That's going on inside their mind to expose them to the things they're exposed to during the day. What else is going on in our public schools? Oh, public school districts getting military surplus equipment and weapons? Nearly 24 legal, civil rights, and education advocacy organizations recently sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Defense, the Justice, and Education to plead with federal officials to stop sending military equipment, weapons, and armored vehicles to public schools. Public pressure, however, has apparently convinced officials in at least one school district, well, that's good, they got to one, to end its affiliation with the 1033 program. And of course, if you guys don't know what that is, it's that military surplus to local government agencies. The Aledo School District in Texas is working to return military rifles it acquired through the program, despite assertions from police officials that guns are a necessity. Okay, now, what they're doing is, I mean, when you first read this, this caught my attention. You're thinking, what the heck? Are they issuing kids, you know, here's your pen, here's your pencil, here's your notepad, here's your M4, here's your gym clothes. I mean, but what it is actually a lot of these larger school districts, they have police on campus, police, either private or, you know, municipal, local government. And so what they're trying to do is give these guys the ability to respond to an active shooter situation. And so they have these things available. It's not, you know, like every, you know, the locker rooms right next to the arms room and then the kids. But although, I mean, in my perfect little world in my head, I'd like to see the school shooting programs come back, not the new school shooting programs that they're implementing now, you know, where a kid walks through and just mows down teachers and students. I mean, the old school. I know I'm old fashioned. It's like I'm living in Leave It to Beaver world. Okay, so I'm idealistic. All right. You know, when the schools had shooting programs, marksmanship programs, where the kids actually learned discipline and muzzle awareness, and they fired rifles as one of their courses in school and they competed among each other between the schools. That's what I'm talking about. But, man, I don't know. Once you remove God, probably a good idea to remove the guns from those schools. Because, well, we see where it's taking us all. You guys heard about this no-refusal DUI checkpoints can result in forced blood draws. And this is something that they're actually doing in multiple states now. This was kind of, well, let me just read this to you. A controversial initiative involving no-refusal DUI checkpoints, which can be enforced in 30 states across the country. So there's 30 states where the Constitution doesn't apply because they can stop you without probable cause or even reasonable suspicion. And they can investigate a crime with no. And of course, driving drunk is a crime. I get that. I'm all for that. But to stop citizens, all the citizens on a highway to investigate, to see if they've been drinking and to see if they are impaired. They are investigating you for a crime when they have no reasonable suspicion at all that you've committed a crime or that anybody has committed a crime. They're guessing that, well, it's possible somebody could be driving drunk. So let's stop everyone. Let's detain everyone. Let's stop, detain, search these vehicles. That's unconstitutional, in case you guys didn't know that. This program allows officers at DUI checkpoints to compel motorists to have their blood drawn by force if they refuse the field sobriety or breathalyzer test. They now have certified nurses or phlebotomists at the ready to collect a blood sample after an on-call judge approves a search warrant, even if they have to hold you down to do it. Now, this article says, even if they have to hold you down to do it. But when you watch this video, which we're going to post on the highlights and resources posting, they strap everyone down. They show video after video of compliant, completely docile women, men, big, small, men, women, doesn't matter. They strap you down like you're a PCP freak out guy, right? They get you strapped down, and then as the nurse approaches you with the needle, they put the forearm to your face and shove your head to the side as a control measure. And they do this whether you are resisting or not, as a matter of practice. This is what they do. And I was like, and I couldn't believe it. This is shocking, and this is unacceptable. Now, this is what's interesting. The article says the states that have already begun the initiative are Arizona, Florida, Idaho. I've not heard of this. This is something that one of the legislators would have told me about in our many conversations, that this is because we're fighting for liberty. This is no way this could be happening in Idaho without this having been brought up to me. Anyway, Illinois, Kansas, Louisiana, Missouri, Texas, and Utah. So I'm going to look into this a little bit more. Now, what's this? I think what they mean is Idaho and these states that I just mentioned. I don't think, because they don't have DUI checkpoints in Idaho. I'm thinking that I do know that Idaho is one of those states where they can draw blood if you refuse to do a breathalyzer test. And I'm opposed to that. That's a very invasive search. And now, even if they have probable cause to believe that you're driving drunk, that's a tough one. Yeah, I don't like it. I'm going to err on the side of liberty. They have the right to search if they have probable cause to believe you've committed a crime. So let's look at the Constitution. Let's look at this. The Constitution says, the Fourth Amendment says that they have to believe they have to have probable cause to believe you have committed a crime, and then it's on them to prove it. Okay, so now this is where they get into this conundrum here. Because the Fifth Amendment protects you from incriminating yourself. Okay, you think I've been driving drunk? Fine, prove it. Now, the burden of proof is on the state to prove that you were driving drunk. For in order for them to prove it, they have to have you breathe into a breathalyzer, which then that would be a violation of your Fifth Amendment rights. I'm not talking about constitutional law here. I'm talking about the Constitution, okay? Not how lawyers over the years have used weasel speak to, find ways, loopholes in the Constitution, right? So it's unconstitutional for them to force you or compel you, except when you get a driver's license, you agree that if it's suspected that you're driving drunk, then you must. That's an interesting one. That's a really interesting one. What would the Founding Fathers say about that? Should it be required for you to have a driver's license to drive on our highways? I don't think I have a problem with that. But to coerce you, you must sign this. You must enter into this contract that if any time in the future, one day, a crime that you may commit in the future, you're agreeing now to incriminate yourself and waive your Fifth Amendment right, the right not to self-incriminate, for something that may or may not happen years down the road. Oh, what a mess. How do we fix this? That's why I say, what would the Founding Fathers say? Because you can talk to constitutional scholars today, and they'll disagree. This stuff leads to debate. I don't want drunk drivers on my roads, and when they drive drunk, I want there to be a penalty for that. You don't have the freedom to endanger other people. This would be a good conversation. I'd love to sit down with maybe Matt Shea. He's a lawyer too, and a representative. Vito Barbieri, Representative Idaho, he's a lawyer and a state representative. This would be a pretty good discussion. I have to go have a cup of coffee, invite some people and just talk about this kind of stuff. We want to fix this stuff because in the rebuilding, after our country collapses, which is coming, it's unavoidable, so stop denying it, we have to rebuild and we have to reinstitute the principles that the Founding Fathers envisioned that we love and that we embrace and do it in such a way that would make it even that much more difficult for it to be perverted in the future and for future generations. That makes sense? Okay, makes sense to me. I know what I'm saying. I know it makes total sense to me. Congressman Jason Chaffetz broke this shocking news Wednesday that four known terrorists were apprehended at the U.S. border in Texas on September 10th, the day before the 13th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Chaffetz questioned Homeland Security Secretary Jeh Johnson. Was that supposed to be Jay? I think Fox 519 talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. Is that Jeh Johnson? J-E-H? Jeh? Okay, so Jeh Johnson, on whether he is aware of any apprehensions of suspected or known terrorists, Johnson dodged the question. Tonight, I don't know when this was. When was this? Anyway, the other night, because I know it wasn't tonight, Representative Chaffetz told Megyn Kelly there were four terrorists arrested crossing the U.S. border in Texas on September 10th when we were at AMCON 4. Full alert! There were actually four individuals trying to cross through the Texas border who were apprehended at two different stations that do have ties to known terrorist organizations in the Middle East. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're just paying attention to current events. My goodness. During a House Homeland Security Committee hearing, focused on worldwide threats to America, Representative Jason Chaffetz, Republican from Utah, asked the DHS Secretary Jeh Johnson whether he is aware of any apprehensions of suspected or known terrorists who have attempted to enter the U.S. illegally during his tenure as Homeland Security Chief. He's the fourth guy that's been sworn in as the DHS guy, head cheese. Representative Chaffetz, who serves on the Homeland Security Panel Subcommittee on Counterterrorism and Intelligence, clarified he was referring to whether known terrorists, suspected terrorists, or individuals with ties to terrorist organizations have been arrested trying to come into the country illegally. Sitting here, this is a quote. Sitting here right now, no specific case comes to mind, replied Johnson. That doesn't mean there is none. What? These guys are such weasels. Have there been any terror threats or anybody coming into our country with terror ties? Sitting here right now, why would you say that? Now, let me tell you something. From an interrogator perspective, as soon as somebody responds and the first thing out of their mouth is, it's not a qualifier, it's a... oh my gosh, what's the term? There's a term for it. When instead of saying, yes, there are, we have apprehended, or no, we haven't apprehended, it's a preparation for their response, and it's an indicator of deception. So when they start off saying, sitting here right now, no specific case comes to mind. Now, this administration has a serious problem with amnesia. They never seem to recall. If my recollection serves me well, I'm not certain. It could have happened, but it maybe didn't. As I'm sitting here right now, nothing seems to be coming to mind. You little weasel. You know exactly what you know. You lied. You're being deceptive. All right. Four known terrorists were apprehended at the border on September 10th. Of course, he qualifies it with, or this is called a qualifier. That doesn't mean there is none, so he can't be held down to it. He's just saying, as far as he knows, this guy knows. He's DHS, head guy. Somebody comes across our border with known terror ties, he's going to know. It's his job. It's his duty to know, because he has to stand in front of the man and give a briefing. That means the president. Now, the president is not going to be caught without information. No president. I don't care if you're a president of a corporation or president of a country. You want all the information, because the last thing you want to do is get blindsided by something you should have known and didn't. You can always play the amnesia thing later, but don't leave me in the dark, okay? So this guy... this guy definitely did know. And his response, now without even seeing the 70% of what you communicate is nonverbal. So what we're seeing is a quote of just the verbal response. And I'm telling you right now, there's red flags all over this guy's response. All these people are corrupt. They're just corrupt people. Immigration agent. From the Immigration Agent Union says Obama widened loopholes for terrorists to enter the USA. That story we'll be posting. That's over at nationalreview.com. And also with quotes from Breitbart.com, they're saying that ISIS, no doubt, is already here. Well, we've been saying that, and it's true. There's just too much evidence. Now, here's a little piece of news before we take a break. What do we got here? ALPI Security Council Chair warns all law enforcement to be on the lookout for common crimes and accidents that are actually planned terrorist acts designed to dilute and divert emergency responders. Examples are forest fires, structure arson, traffic hit and run, vandalism of power systems, and armed robberies. This came in from an AMRON operator, one of our intelligence people. And this actually came from a, well, I don't want to say where the source is from, but it was basically ALPI Security Council chair was quoted putting out this warning. Well, check this out. We get another report, another intel report. This is internal. This is coming from Radio Free Redoubt. All right. Exclusive right here from our own intelligence network. Emergency care flight. Now, this is like 3 days later after the warning that there could be false type of criminal activity used as diversionary tactic to cover up other things or to assess the law enforcement response and emergency services response. So they're warned, be on the lookout that crimes and so-called accidents could actually be ruses to cover up other terrorist activity. So this is coming from, this is gleaned from other intel that's coming in. So this one just comes in. Emergency care flight call out in Nevada. This happened in Nevada on the 20th yesterday. To remote area 25 miles north of Reno, Nevada for overturned vehicle with life-threatening injuries was a hoax. Air and ground search found nothing. Law enforcement aware that this may have been a test of emergency response times for purposes of terrorist attack planning. This is the kind of stuff that's going on in our country, in America now. Okay, guys, I don't want you to forget, if you are in the area, Lewiston, Moscow, Kamiai, North Central Idaho. If you're within an hour, hour and a half drive, it will be worth it for you to sit in front of Pastor John Weaver. I've had a couple listeners ask, where was that again? I need to know. We need directions. This will be in Kamiai, Idaho on September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. That's tomorrow night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that will be at the Welcome Center on Main Street in Kamiai. No, it's in Kamiai, all right? You're going to find, just drive into Kamiai, Idaho, and you'll have no problem finding the Welcome Center on Main Street, okay? And just ask anybody and they'll point to it. It's a very small town. The meetings will start at 7 p.m. and the doors will open at 6:30. And Pastor John Weaver is a patriot to the core. And if you ever get the opportunity to sit in front of him, you'll be blessed by it, guaranteed. Okay, Fox 519, could you give us the eye on the economy for this week? Thank you very much, and we'll be right back with segment two.
If you want to know what truly drives the engine of the world, follow the money. If you want to know why elections fail and countries can't succeed from their nations, follow the money. If you want to know what drives the elite to craft terrible plans in the dark corners of the world, follow the money. And finally, if you want to know what will bring about a terrible transformation that will most certainly drive us into collapse in the near future, follow the money. This week, while the world was, in fact, following the money with the Alibaba offering, which was pretty stunning, there's been some news that shows that the world was about to come apart by the financial seams. We saw the wealthy of the world clamor for gold bars in the wake of Scotland's independence vote. We read about how Ebola will transform the world economy. And finally, we read about how Ayn Rand's Directive 10-289 is actually becoming law here in the U.S. Sit tight tonight while I bring you news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back. Eye on the Economy this week is brought to you by Buggin' Out in Deer Park, Washington. Buggin' Out is your source for preparedness items from freeze-dried food to water filters to specialty medical items. And right now, they have an excellent selection of personal hygiene items that are ready, that are well-priced and ready for you to pick up. Contact them today at 509-276-5478. That's Buggin' Out in Deer Park, Washington. Buggin' Out, your source for all your preparedness items. And now, on with the news. In the wake of Scotland's independence vote on Thursday, it was evidently clear that the wealthy of the world were extremely worried that Scotland's separation from the United Kingdom was going to collapse the pound. In an interview and report on London's Telegraph this week, Rob Halliday-Stein, the founder of BullionByPost.com, reported that the number of 12.5-kilogram gold bars was being brought and bought by wealthy customers has increased 243% this year, and that's compared to the same period last year. The sales of the 1 kilogram gold bars, worth about 25,000 pounds each, has doubled during the 3 months prior to this event in August. Mr. Halliday Stein said, while most customers arrange for secure storage for the larger bars in secret vaults operated by Brinks, some of the customers have actually taken the physical delivery of the 12.5 kilogram gold bars. The small coins, as well, can also be sent by post, and they're seeing an increase in the amount of clients wanting physical delivery of that gold. Well, this proves it for me. Gold and silver are a currency and will always be, but the fact that the delivery of physical gold is up 243% proves that even the wealthy aren't putting any stock, for lack of a better term, in central banks and paper currency. Fellow Patriots, as we step further and further into debt, and the bubbles that Mark Faber, and other alternative economists have said are out there begin to burst, you need to always have a way of purchasing and hedging your wealth. Now, I will always say that barter should always be your first line of trade in commerce. However, gold and silver have been used for centuries and will continue to be used for real currency going forward. I'd recommend today going to your local coin shop and buying your junk silver and gold. And then in the world news tonight, the costs of the Ebola outbreak are beginning to raise serious concern that the cost of the economic impact of fighting the terrifying disease is causing great harm to the local economies of the area that it's been broken out in. In a statement issued on September 17th, World Bank President Jim Yong Kim said, quote, "The primary cost of this tragic outbreak is in the human lives and suffering, which have already been terribly difficult to bear. But our findings make it clear that the sooner we get an adequate containment response and decrease the level of fear and uncertainty, the faster we can blunt Ebola's economic impact." He followed up with this quote, "We have seen in recent days a serious scaling up of the part of international donors to contain the Ebola epidemic. Today's report underscores the huge potential cost of the epidemic, and if we don't wrap up our efforts to stop it now." He is right, and oftentimes we forget about the economic impacts of fighting a major disease like Ebola. The mainstream media only paints the picture of the human impact of the destruction, not the economic impact of the destruction. Right now, those costs are growing rapidly to combat Ebola, and the projected costs for the moment for Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone are totaling $359 million. However, at the current pace, the World Bank estimates the cost could top $809 million by early 2015. But there could be an even bigger impact should Ebola spread to our shores. I'm going to offer this next statement with a disclaimer. This is conjecture, and only that. It is based off my economic understanding about how money flows through the economy and nothing more than this. Picture this. Ebola makes it to our shores, maybe through an open border in the south. Who knows? But for some strange reason, the country gets locked down to stop the spread of the disease. Now, what would happen during that time period? Trucks wouldn't be able to deliver goods such as groceries, fuel, and medical supplies. Even oxygen that is supplied to nursing homes would cease to be delivered. Crime would skyrocket. And I can hear you saying, but Fox, wouldn't crime be lower as people would be kept indoors? Yes, that logic works about as good as thinking that if you outlaw guns, it would take them out of the hands of criminals. Most crimes are reported to the police by average citizens, you and I. Without the eyes of the public, crime would continue to be higher during these periods. Fear would be through the roof. Violence could and would erupt at certain parts of the country, which would cause the spread of the disease even further. People would freak out ahead of time, stocking up for the period that the stores would be closed at. In the wake of having our country locked down, it would cause some serious impacts to our economy. Excuse me. Now, does Fox 19 believe that Ebola will come to our shores in America? Sure. There is a very strong probability that it will make it here through air travel or maybe, I don't know, through that open border in the south again. It's just another reminder that we as patriots and preppers need to always be ready to handle pandemics and the costs that are associated with those. Finally tonight, I want to read you something. For many of you out there, you may know where these words come from. Point 1. All workers, wage earners, and employees of any kind whatsoever shall henceforth be attached to their jobs and nor leave or be dismissed or have change of employment. Point 2. All industrial, commercial, manufacturing, and business establishments, of any nature whatsoever shall henceforth remain in operation. And the owners of such establishments shall not quit, nor leave, nor retire, nor close, or sell, or transfer their business. Have you figured out where those are from yet? Those are the prophetic words of Ayn Rand. And those have finally come to life in the form of a new House resolution that has not quite been passed yet, but has great support. That House resolution is 5445, and it states this in the body of the document. Notwithstanding any other provision of law, no mail processing facility operating as of September 1st, 2014, may be closed or consolidated prior to December 31st, 2015. Sound familiar? Think about that for a moment. The federal government just stated that a bankrupt organization that is a money pit may never be closed, even though they have maxed out their $15 billion line of credit, have a negative net worth of negative $44 billion, and continue to finance their operations and cannot be offset with any debt or revenue. This is classic government waste. The fact that someone would introduce a bill to continue the government operations irregardless of the consequences tells me one thing. They will do anything they can to hang on to power right now. They will squeeze the blood from this tournament, that is, the economy, and for what good? What is truly left? A nation of takers and consumers who only care where the new iPhone comes from? Or who wins America's Got Talent? Ayn Rand was a genius, and she knew that someday the government would attempt to preserve their own power through House resolutions and executive orders. She knew that as the end approached, they would take severely unnecessary actions all in the name of power preservation. She saw the writing on the wall. She saw how the debt increased from handouts from the government it would increase the loss to our future. We are seeing a trend here, ladies and gentlemen. As the bottom begins to fall out, the government decides that it will do its best to, quote, contain issues from the public and choose not to accept responsibility to fix its own future. It will only damn those who have to inherit it, and fortunately, those inheriting it are you and I. Okay, with these three stories in mind, here's my advice for you this evening. Building a mutual assistant team is not easy. There are many things you have to consider. How will the ethics of the team work? Does everyone share their same beliefs? Do your personal goals and the team goals line up? What roles will everybody play? How will they deal with crisis? Of course, these are some of the questions you won't be able to answer until you actually enter into those types of situations. However, the resources are available out there to help you build your group. I recently listened to Mark Goodwin's podcast, the Prepper Recon podcast, and I heard a great interview with Charlie Hogwood on building mutual assistant groups, otherwise known as MAGs. I think it's a catchy title. Charlie has a wealth of information on the subject and has a great book entitled MAGs, The People Part of Prepping, How to Plan, Build, and Organize a Mutual Assistance Group in a Survival Situation. I have purchased it and plan on reading it very soon, and I would encourage you to do the same. Anyways, thanks for listening this week to Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519, signing off. God bless.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership. And it's going to come from us. Renegade.
That back with segment two, which is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate for your real estate needs for strategic relocation to the North Idaho Panhandle in the uppermost counties, mostly Boundary County, but also Bonner County, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com, and they are also patriots all the way, and they are worthy of your support, so thank you very much for doing that, for supporting those guys. And, hey, just shoot them an email telling them thank you for supporting Radio Free Redoubt. A great group of patriots. I got to hang out with several up there yesterday with several candidates running for several different positions. And they're going to win. It's really cool to watch. And we're going to have some of these people, we're going to be talking to them before, as we get closer to the elections, November 11th. But great community leaders, people that are movers and shakers in their community, and also several elected officials that are going to be ousting some of the left-wing incumbents. They are going to be booted out onto their butts and replaced by patriots. And I'm just excited about what's happening in the American Redoubt. Hey, also got to meet the guys from Tactical Wood Gas today, that they are at the expo. Fascinating, generator. It operates on wood gas from small wood. You can use pellets, you can use, you know, small wood chips, and it actually runs a combustion engine and runs a generator. Very cool. Give them a call. Check them out. Go to tacticalwoodgas.com and check out their website and see what they got. And it's a patriot-owned business, and they build everything in the American Redoubt. Oh, several things here going on. I just looked through Drudge Report, and I see this. Latino groups, La Raza, the race. You know, the racist group, the Hispanic, the race. Not one of the races, the race. They launch a voter registration drive. Imagine that. And why not? I mean, Obama has opened the way for, you know, the Latinos to come pouring in undocumented. I'm not talking about the people who came here legally. God bless them. If you want to better your life, that's what my grandfather did. Came from Scotland. They went through, they went right past the Statue of Liberty. They went right there to New York. They processed in. They went through their, they became citizens. They went through the whole process and they did it legally. And I don't care if you're from Mexico or Guatemala or wherever, you come here legally because you want to pursue the American dream and follow our laws and become an American, not a hyphenated American, but an American. God bless you and your family and everything that you set your hand to. I mean that. But what these people are promoting here, this is left-wing, communist, Che Guevara-type communist. Take everything by force and then distribute it evenly. It just bugs me. California GOP at a historic low. Well, yeah, because they're all moving to the American Redoubt. Mayors of L.A., Chicago, and New York City launch a campaign to naturalize undocumented, well, criminals. Immigrant population in Georgia approaches 1 million. Hey, what does that say? Immigrant? Well, I don't have a problem with immigrants. Is this illegal aliens or immigrants? Baltimore mayor unveils a plan to lure immigrant families, undocumented illegal aliens, and limit immigration or watch conservative efforts become irrelevant. Huh. This, we're on a battle for our country, for Americanism. And I was listening to somebody today. They're like, you know, we need to, we have the opportunity to take back Congress. With these elections, we can take back the Senate and the House, and we can really start effecting some change. No, we need to vote. This is me talking now. We need to vote in November for everything that we are capable of having a say in. And we need to pray over the people that are in Washington, because it's the right thing to do. But here's the reality of it. Unless the Lord intervenes, there is no hope of saving America at the Washington, D.C. level. Washington, D.C. is broken. I mean, not fixable broken. But we still should vote and we should still stay engaged until this opportunity comes for us to reset the system. We should still do our duty. And I believe we should vote. But I don't think we should place our hope in that. Because not when you see what's happening in our country. Look at the headlines we're going down and seeing that America is over. The American Republic that we've always known is over. And I hate to say that, but it's also true. At some point, somebody had to say, the Roman Empire, okay, we've denied it long enough. It's okay, it's over. All right, it's not savable anymore. Sometime the Byzantine Empire hit a point where everyone had to agree, okay, it's over. Now, people disagreed at certain points because right to the bitter end, there was people saying, I refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe the Roman Empire and all of its glory is over. We must fight for it. Well, whether you believe it or not, it's over. All right. Well, America is in its last days. So this is not doom. This is not gloom. This is hope. This is hope for a reset, which the only thing that can fix what's broken is if we reset it. That's our only hope. That is our hope. Let it come down. And then God have his hand over us in the rebuilding. And whoever hates God or hates Americanism, hates our heritage, fine. That's fine. There's a place for you on the other side of that line in Berkeley, okay, Massachusetts, New York, wherever it is, Illinois, Northern Illinois. All right, that's your place. All right, there's going to come a time where people understand the need to start gathering together and they're doing it. I keep running into them everywhere I go. People that don't know about Radio Free Readout, they're coming here for the same reasons. And it's amazing how many, I used to run into a lot of people, I've never heard of Radio Free Readout, but we definitely moved here because it's so conservative and, you know, we're concerned about the way things are going in our country and we want to be positioned in the right place. You know, after that, you know, where there's other conservatives, I'm like, well, that's the whole point of the American Readout. Now I'm running into people who they moved here because friends of them told them about Radio Free Readout or the American Readout concept, or in their process of doing this on their own, they stumbled across in their research, they come across the American Readout and they go, bingo, that's it. That's why we're doing this. We're not alone. Yay. And that's encouraging. I like to hear that. Well, that's led to one poll here from, where was this from? Tiny.avian. I don't think that's the website. 1 in 4 Americans are now open to secession. You know what that means? Like seceding, like pulling, like we don't want to be part of the American, the United States anymore. 1 in 4 Americans. This is from Reuters. The failed Scottish vote to pull out from the United Kingdom stirred secessionist hopes for some in the United States, where almost a quarter of the people are open to their states leaving the Union. A new Reuters. Now, of course, you're going to find that all across the Southwest because they want their own Latino state, which will happen one day. They will be self-ruling. They'll have their own sovereignty. And where, you know, right now is currently... Some people, they're moving to Arizona or Texas. People are moving from Texas to the American Redoubt, and they're yelling, Texas is falling, and they're running from it. And that's offensive to some people that are diehard Texans that love Texas. I love Texas. I've always called it the Texas Redoubt. But, man, how many Jews loved Poland and didn't want to leave it? That's their home, man. Generations. They had businesses. They had land. They had prosperity. And at some point, they finally realized, we don't have a choice. We love it, but we have to leave it for our posterity. But otherwise, we won't survive to hand anything down to our children for their inheritance. And so interesting. This is a very interesting study. Some 23.9% of Americans polled from August 23rd through September 16th said they strongly supported or tended to support the idea of their state breaking away, while 53% of those respondents strongly opposed or tended to oppose the notion. Wow. 10 years ago, would you have seen a quarter of the Americans with feelings of breaking away from the United States? This is a trend. This is a growing trend, and it's not going away. I want to restore America, but America doesn't want to be restored. They have a vision for the future. They want what they call progress. Progress means moving up, moving forward. And that's their slogan, forward. That means going forward and leaving the old America behind, the America that we love. So we're not abandoning our country. Our country has abandoned us. They want to move forward and leave us and our values behind, which makes you a foreigner in your own country.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Attention. 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 Stand by for message. The road is lined with black stones. Again, the road is lined with black stones. End of message.
All right, guys, we are back. This segment is sponsored by, jointly sponsored by AMP3 Medical. They were also at the Preparedness Expo. Dave doing an awesome job teaching the suturing class. And I didn't even get a chance to talk to him. I did talk to Beth. Just great supporters, also great patriots. And they do a great job traveling around helping people get prepared. And so it was really cool seeing them. And then, of course, Katie Armour, C-A-T-I. Armor, not at the expo today because, well, it's quite a journey for them and they're not quite ready to take the gap and redoubt and relocate their business yet. But no doubt they will be top of the line body armor. And of course, you can use the coupon code John Jacob Schmidt and that'll get you a discount knocked off on that for your purchase. So just want to let you know about that. Go there and check them out. katiearmor.com, C-A-T-I, like as in come and take it. C-A-T-I-armor.com. There's a Spokane Ham Fest coming up next week from the ARRL Washington State Convention, September 27th. That will be held at the University High School in the Spokane Valley. And we'll post the link to the PDF file, which is just a flyer. It's only $5 to get in. And if you're under 18, it's free. And apparently, well, you'll get all the details off the flyer there. But September 27th, University High School, Spokane Valley, Ham Fest. You guys want to get some great, first of all, you'll be able to take your test to get licensed. If you're not interested in that at this point, excuse me, some great deals. On this is like a gun show for ham radio equipment, anything communications, including classes they'll be putting on. There's some giving away some great communications gear and radios. But this is, you know how the gun shows used to be where you'd go to get a really killer deal? You always go to the gun show. Well, those are the old days. Now it's like you go to a gun show and it's like as much, if not more, than going to Cabela's or Black Sheep or one of these other Sportsman Warehouse. They're not great deals anymore. Now, the gun shows are a great place to go to find the thing that you can't find in the stores, you know, like 22 ammo or, you know, case lots of 5.56. Gun shows are where you're going to find that stuff. You're going to pay premium, but the other places don't have it often. The Ham Fest is where you can go and get anything from shortwave radios to ham radio equipment, for local VHF stuff, UHF stuff, to long range stuff, antennas, just a great resource. So I want to encourage you to go and check that out. And let's see here. There's some stuff that I'm not going to be able to get to because I just don't have the time. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Still want to cover some of this Muslim stuff because, I mean, from what Maxine Waters said, the Muslims, all right, things about the American Muslim community, that they're, you know, they're wonderful. And if you don't embrace Sharia law, well, you're a bigot. So you and I are now bigots again. So anyway, we'll talk about more about that, because the reason why is because I'm digging up some historical stuff that I want to cover. And just kind of tie everything together. And in the future, in the rebuilding, there are certain things, certain standards. The founding fathers just knew that it was just tacit knowledge. And we say religious freedom. That means the freedom to religion, you know, to worship Christ the way you want without having to follow the official state-sponsored Christian church. You know, if you want to follow the Quaker Church, or you wanted to follow the what would become the Baptist Church, or just worship Christ the way that you wanted to see fit without having to belong to a state-sponsored church, you could. That was religious freedom. That they knew what they meant. But, of course, now we've got the Satanic Temple under the freedom of religion. And they're partnering with the freedom from religion group, which, how could they do that? Freedom from religion should not want to have anything to do with the Satanic Temple, because, well, they want to be free from all religion. No, they don't. The truth is actually coming out. They hate God, and they will partner and ally themselves with anyone else who hates God as much as them. So it's no surprise that the Freedom from Religion Foundation would also team up with the Satanic Temple. What a perfect match. I could see a wedding in the future. All right, guys, this is John Jacob Schmidt. God bless all of you this week as you go out. And thank you so much for your support. Your financial support is needed more than you know and more than I'm usually even care to talk about. But I am so grateful for those of you who's just stepped up to send $5 or $10 a month in. I'm very humbled and I'm very grateful. And I just can't tell you enough. Thank you guys all so much for your letters of encouragement and especially your prayers. We need your protection and we need wisdom. And we've got a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that I don't talk about that much. But there are many, many things going on. It's going to require wisdom and discernment. And we're also going to need protection. So we ask for your continued prayers in that area. All right. In the meantime, make sure you stay in the Word and stay on the range and keep your skills sharp and get your comms up. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. You have a blessed week. Until we meet again, good night.